Deleting rapidly. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shipping and Handling Book Club.
Yay!
I am your host, Jennifer Eden.
And I'm your co-host, Bridget Smith.
So, continuing the Vorkosigan family flailing saga.
So many feelings.
We're both literally sort of shaking our hands in the air right now.
Flailing, of course.
I loved this.
Yes.
I think one of the reasons that psychologically I waited so long to start it is because I was afraid that I would not love it as much as I loved
I had such high hopes book from Shards of Honor, and it lived up to them.
And it did. And then this one, I was just like, will it be as good? It was.
Yes.
So, yeah, I finished it this afternoon.
Yes, I finished it about an hour ago. I read 2/3 of it yesterday, but, had to go to work today.
Yeah.
And didn't have time to read until, like, 5 o'clock.
I was, I was reading it in front of my computer, and I would sort of, like, reply to emails and then, like, go back to reading and then, like, send an email and then go back to reading. So it's like, any of my responses have been distracted today. That is why.
Jen, this doesn't say anything except Cordelia!
Cordelia! So, I mean, how to even sum up what happens in this book? Like, so much happens. It's a very eventful book.
A lot happens.
We're about 3 months or 4 months after the end of Shards of Honor.
Shortly after.
It's, like, not that long.
No.
Cordelia is pregnant.
Yes.
Errol is sort of regent-elect, but the Emperor hasn't died yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the beginning of the book, you meet sort of the future Emperor.
Gregor,
who sounds adorable.
He does.
And his father was, like, one of the worst people from the previous book.
Yes. I don't think we met him.
But we sort of, like...
We heard about him.
And he was sort of, like, pulling the strings of...
His friend. So many
is a rapist lackey. So that was her husband, who was the dying emperor's son, who is now dead. Who was the guy that the
you
entire
totally skipped over who Corinne was?
Okay,
you didn't even mention her. She just went straight. Damn to it. That was her husband.
Well, she's kind of a doormat.
I did like very early on the first time she and Cordelia meet. Cordelia is talking about how there are no women in the Barra Yaren. I have no idea how to pronounce this. I went with Barra Yaren because it's sort of like Barracuda.
Yeah. sounds about right.
So
she's talking about how there's none in the army.
There aren't any women in the army.
Is that a hint of like wistfulness, like what might have been?
Yes. And it's she says something about, she asks Corinne, where are all the bright women hiding?
Mm-hmm.
And then is like, oh God, she must have taken offense at that. Like, I can't get out of the situation. But it also, it seemed very clear to me that Corinne got that she was meant to be included in this bright women. 'Cause you don't ask someone who you think is dull where all the interesting people are.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing that happens.
Yeah.
So basically,
so yeah, she was great. But to backtrack a little bit to sort of the bare bones plot summary that I was attempting but failing because this book is so like intricate. So you meet the Emperor to be and his mother, Princess Corinne, the Princess Dowager Corinne.
Yes.
And
who's
then
like 30.
No, I don't think that she's even, I think she's like 25, but
no, they did say 30.
Really?
I noticed that, yeah.
I missed that part. Because I was just like, Cordelia. Because of Errol's position in the government and for other various reasons, he and Cordelia get attacked. And in the course of that attack, her sort of, like, baby is exposed to this, like, toxin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rest of the book is basically, like, is the kid gonna live?
Mm-hmm.
Is the rebellion that happens gonna get crushed?
Mm-hmm.
Will Cordelia and Errol stay together? Because I was genuinely concerned for a while there. And will they be able to save Corinne and
Gregor
and the Vorpatrols?
Vorpatrol, I think.
Vorpatrol, yeah. I think Vorpatrol is the name I was thinking of, like the book I found in
okay.
in Tennessee. So a lot happens. Like, where do we even start with this book? There's so much.
So much. I guess we start with how awesome Cordelia is.
Cordelia is so great.
So great.
She's so great.
And we are still, Jen and I have been talking to each other for like weeks now about how we cannot handle the rest of this series not being about her. Like, I'm sure Miles is lovely, but...
He seems great. The epilogue was funny. He seems cute. But I love Cordelia so much.
I know. This is the problem with getting people invested in a character at the beginning and then moving on from them.
It's like, damn you, sagas and having large scopes of characters and time. Damn it. But so I think one of the things that I was like most... I was worried about is... I really hate it in books when, like, the female character gets pregnant, and then immediately everything is like, and now I'm a mother, and, like, you know, everything becomes about, like, the kid, and, like, pregnancy, and, like, being a mother, and, like, you know, not that isn't, like, a genuine, you know, feeling that people have, and not that, you know, being a mother isn't important, and, like, a big job, but, like, it would have felt very, like, false for Cordelia.
Yes.
And what I, one of the things I loved about it is about the way that Lois McMaster Bujold, LMB, treats her
as that buddy Lois,
our BFF. you know, she is very sort of ambivalent about it.
Yeah,
and she has a lot of like misgivings, not only about like being like having kids, but also like being pregnant, which for her is like a very alien idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was such an effective way of like convincing the reader how very backwards this planet is.
Even though it looks an awful lot like ours.
It does, but it's, I mean...
But, yeah, but it was... She actually pulls off the very interesting trick of making a society that resembles our own look foreign and strange. A lot of people attempt that, and most people aren't very successful at it.
Yeah.
But she has done such a good job of giving Cordelia... this different worldview that when she comes into contact with things that seem fairly standard to us, like
having a kid in your own body that you grew alone.
Yes. And the whole thing about how she comes back to this a couple of times where the first time a woman has sex, her hymen is broken and she's like, this is torturous. Why would you put any woman through this?
Fair. Yep. Fair.
But that's also, you know, something that we experience.
Well, yeah. And just, you know, and the other thing that one of the things I like about that on the flip side is that she never, like, she was very sort of, like, she thought that, you know, the Baton way of doing things was more advanced, but she was willing to sort of, like, give it a try doing it Errol's way and sort of, like, on this planet because she knew that, like, A, there weren't really any other options, and B, she was like, you know, I can't really, like... I thought that it would have been really easy for her to be, like, really superior and kind of judgmental.
Yes.
In a way that would have been... I mean, she was judgmental, but, like, correctly and within sort of bounds of reason.
And she made the attempt. I really liked her list of rules where she's, like...
Oh, my God. So
she's
funny.
She's trying to assimilate into the culture and figure out what's okay
to talk about.
Who you can talk about things in front of. And she's having such a hard time with it that she writes a list of rules to live by.
And Errol just starts laughing.
Yeah.
But then it becomes this lovely moment where, like, she can... She's like, and, you know, she was able to make him crack up by... saying rule 9 under her breath.
Like, oh, such a, it's like one of those really cute relationship details, very small things that really makes you believe in this couple.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, to go back a little bit, it would be very easy for her to sort of brush aside any possibility of Barriar improving like by sort of having like that kind of mindset of superiority. Yes.
They're all backwards, backwater planet.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I like that the thing she kept sort of noticing was like how much wood there was everywhere.
Yes.
Because she's like, I mean, I guess it just grows here. Like that moment where she's like, I mean, they're so attached to burning dead vegetable matter for its chemically trapped heat.
I am pretty sure I laughed aloud at that in the coffee shop yesterday.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, another thing that aspect of it made me think of, another thing that that aspect brought to mind was it reminded me very much of a fantasy novel.
Yes.
Where, you know, a princess from one, you know, land gets married to a prince from another land, and she's sort of like, you know, or she's not even a princess at all. She's like a common person. And she's like, you know, being brought into like all these like arcane traditions and stuff. And she's sort of like overawed by it. Cordelia is like, this is just a lot. Like, like I'm doing this because I love my husband, but I find all of this like, frankly, kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, and her repeated insistence that the entire planet should just go to therapy for an extended period of time.
Right? It's so sensible. Right? So sensible. Oh, my God. You know, she's just like, you know, everyone here has dealt with a lot of trauma, and I think that everyone just needs a hug and to maybe, like, chill in a dark room for 100 years.
Talk to someone about your feelings. It'll be okay.
I love that they even, like, briefly entertain the idea of bringing that one psychiatrist from Beta. Like, they don't seriously entertain the idea, but, like, you know that it actually probably came up, like, later. Like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, maybe I can bring that woman. She was crazy, but she did have my best interest at heart. But, yeah, I mean, I just, I loved it so much.
Yeah. And, yeah, I it sort of, it did have that dual issue for me where, for one, I at this stage in my life, I find it really hard to get invested in, like, motherhood stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, you know, I'm still, I work on YA. I'm still into, like, teenagers taking their first steps. As, like,
oh, see, whereas my ovaries are like, we exist. Put us to purpose. Like, yeah, it's creepy. I'm not a fan.
Dumb bodies.
Damn it.
So, you know, I'm like, it's not something that really speaks to me. Like, I'm willing to get invested in it, and I understand, like, the value of it, but it's not something that I automatically connect with. So I've sort of, it's hard for, it's, you know, child in peril is like, it's a thing that works for me on a theoretical level, but not an emotional one. And you're also dealing with the fact that we know the whole series continues, so we know that Miles survives. And so it makes it really hard to get the stakes to matter in that case, where, like, you know, it works out fine.
Right, right. And I think, you know, I think it would have been really interesting reading this not knowing that.
Yeah.
But even as it was, I was really genuinely very worried that Cordelia and Errol were going to break up.
Oh, yes.
Because
that the thing that she does really well is she doesn't make the entire story hinge on that. There are so many other things going on. It's like, are they going to break up? Is Errol going to be murdered in this coup that's happening?
Will he secretly agree with his father? That was another thing I was worried about. Because so the whole thing too is that Beriar has this very kind of
Spartan approach
to like
children.
To children. Yeah, so if your child is in any way kind of like not perfect, if they're disabled, if they have any kind of like genetic issue, if they're you know, if they're disabled in any way, then it's, I guess they're, like, left for the wolves? Like, I didn't understand, like, that part of it, but, like,
I think that most of them are probably aborted very early on.
Yeah,
but, yeah, there was also the thing of, like, if you don't have that kind of medical care available to you, do what the Spartans did.
Yeah, and also, you know, there's a lot about her going, like, I don't trust any of these doctors to know, like, a uterus from, you know, a horse's patoot. Like, come on. But and so it's made very clear very quickly once the sort of toxin attack takes place that, like, the real consequences that she's worried about are, like, what's going to happen to the baby.
Yes.
And her father-in-law, Count Russian Peter, is like, if it's at all deformed, like, it's not going to be in my house. Like, mutant, like, freak. Like, all of these words, like, thrown around. I was just like, oh, my God, this is, like, dark.
Yes. It was also really upsetting to read because, you know, I started out sort of liking Piotr.
Yeah, and I think that she does that really well.
Like,
yeah,
they form this bond, and then this just like kind of horrifying to read him saying all these things.
Yeah,
and actually trying to kill the child.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was really, really upsetting. And but it also, she also did a really good job, you know, painting a world where, not just where those kinds of things are expected, but also, like, a protagonist who sort of is like, okay, well, I know that you do it that way, but I'm telling you that that's horrible, and I'm not going to go along with it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in any other situation, I would have been like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, the way that sort of, like, you know, the valuing of the sort of like martial values and also the sort of like physical, you know, intactness values are extended even to like war heroes, like
what's his Kudelka?
Name? Kudelka. I was like, because
they call him Koo all the
Koo
time.
Koo and Drew. I was just like, could we not have had their names rhyme? Stop it. It's like, okay, we found the one thing we didn't like about this book.
Although I did find them very cute.
I know. So. Oh my god! Like the way that Cordelia had to run like sex ed, I was just like, oh my god,
it was so great.
You know, it was sort of like the logical consequences of running that kind of feudal society, even with like all the technology.
They need a go between. Ugh.
Oh my god! It's like, what would you do next? And he's like, I can get a go between. She's like, oh my god!
No wonder you don't know what you're
doing.
That
whole plot line is just use your words. I think that that's really interesting, and I'd be very curious to see what sort of like disability activists who are like interested in the genre like have to say about this storyline in particular, because I think that it's very interesting in that she doesn't really care like what the kid's like going to be able to do. She's just like, I just want him to live.
Yeah,
like I don't want to just give up now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have many feelings, and I can articulate so few of my. I was texting with Bridget on the way over, and she's like, "I'm gonna get some wine." I was like, "I have so many feelings about this book. I might also get wine." Seriously, so many feelings. And I am no closer to articulating any of them other than I love it so much.
Yeah. I also. Damn it! I was gonna say a thing. I don't know what I was gonna say though. Yeah. It was interesting. I even kind of liked the epilogue.
Oh my god, I loved the epilogue.
Like, it's the flash forward 5 years to when the child is, like, doing okay, and it's just...
But, like, not okay. I also love that he wasn't just, like, fine. Like, magically fine. Yeah.
It's like, oh, he can finally walk now that he's five. And, like, oh, he's stopped talking quite so much
because he has other outlets. Yeah. That like,
and he like falls off the horse and breaks his arm, and it's like, okay, there's another broken bone on the tally.
Yeah, but I also could completely. I also really like the through line of the horses.
Yes,
because at the beginning of the book, Cordelia is like, Peter's fucking obsessed with these horses, and I don't understand it because they just seem like big, hairy, expensive animals. Yep. But he's really into it, so whatever. Cool. And then the horses become, like, the means of escape.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the fuck? Why do you ride these things? This is horrible. And then at the end, they sort of become, like, the vehicle for bonding between Peter and Miles. I was like, yay, good.
I did really like the sort of flashes back to Peter's, like, background as part of the insurgency.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
It was cool to see just like those little bits of it and just him bringing back like these, because he's a war hero.
Yeah.
And so
all his like old war bros.
Yes. And like just the effortless expertise that he is bringing back to it. And he doesn't like stop to explain anything. He's just like, this is what we're doing now.
I mean, and there were some parts where I was just, where the sort of by necessity things were being explained to Cordelia.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that she did a really good job of making those things mean something in the moment. Like, they had impact in the moment. Like, it was important that she know it now.
Yeah.
Rather than just sort of like, well, in this world, this is how we do it.
I don't know if you know this, Jen, but Lois McMaster-Bujold is a really good writer.
Oh my god, really?
Who would have thought? I mean, like 19 books in a series, many of them New York Times bestsellers.
I know.
Who would have expected such a thing?
Who would have expected it? There's so many little pages you can see I've like dog-eared because I was just like, I love it so much.
And I flagged two, but because I had to read it for an hour this afternoon, my phone is nearly dead, so I can't look them up. One of them was the thing with Corinne, so I've already talked about that.
But this last paragraph before the epilogue, where she's just like, Liv, I was just like, I'm just going to be over here crying for... So yeah, I just really love this book. I mean, and I was really... What I like too is that she, like, all of her actions made complete sense, both in the context of the person that we knew from the first book, and in the context of what we know of her from this book.
Yeah,
because I hate it when someone's just like all of a sudden like Rambo and they've never done anything before.
Yeah,
and in this one she's like, you know, I know I have to do this, but I also know that I'm probably going to be terrible at it if I do it alone. So like, let's figure it out.
Let me get the experts.
Oh my god, that whole sequence where they're in the palace.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. So, oh my god. I mean, if you are one of those people who has not read the books and is somehow listening to this part. So there's a part, so basically Miles, her son, gets sort of removed.
Put in a uterine replicator.
About midway through the book. Midway through the book, would you say?
Yeah.
And they know that Vordarian, the evil Vor.
There's so many Vors, it's really confusing.
I know.
It's like a Russian novel. I don't know what any of these names are.
Well, and it's it seems like it's a society based on Russian.
Because
the Cyrillic alphabet that she's reading that book in. And so she knows that the guy who's like sort of done the coup is keeping Miles captive and also Kareen. And so she takes Drew and Ku and Bathory into the palace to like rescue like all these people. And I was reading it sort of like with one eye like averted because I was just like, this is not going to end well for like anybody. But it did, except for Kareen. But really, I could kind of see that coming.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised. I was sad, though.
Yeah. I was sad. They could have been bros.
Yeah. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Though she did get Alice.
Yeah.
Who also seems great.
I love Alice. I love at the end where she was like, and the newlyweds were just like, let's elope. <'Cause>, you know, their helpers were getting just too overzealous.
And I do really like that, despite the fact that Cordelia has no interest in fashion, and this is a world like where its military prowess is praised, Alice's interest in fashion and in making things beautiful is never once disparaged. It's sort of like, I don't really get this, but you seem really good at it, so I will let you do this.
Yeah, and Cordelia never questions the need for her to,
right,
you know, dress a certain way. Because that's another thing that I really sort of, like, get irritated by. It's like, why can't I just wear the thing I want? It's like, well, because
society. Society is a thing. It's not an imaginary thing.
It's not an imaginary thing. And yes, I would like to live in the world where we can just, like, wear what we want and nothing. Yeah. But, you know, actually, I kind of don't want to live in that world because people left to their own devices wear hideous things. White people try to get dreadlocks.
Yep.
It's just bad. It's just bad all around.
I wore overalls for...
You did.
About 6 years past when they were fashionable. It was not a good plan.
Yeah.
They were very comfortable, though.
Yeah.
I will say that in their face.
No. 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 No, no, no. But no, she never sort of, like, looks down on Alice for being into it. And she never... I think that that's the other thing that I like about her sort of, like, baiting kind of, like, well... All right. Like, you do you. I thought thought that it was really interesting that she had never encountered, like, poverty before.
Yeah.
Like, she had never encountered people who did not have food.
Right. It was very interesting.
Like, it was sort of this piece of, like, wide-eyed naivete.
Mm.
Instead of her being the one to explain, like, the way of the world to the Beriarans, they're like, yeah, no, sometimes people don't have food.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, obviously, then the next moment they ruin it by saying, like, they should all die. It's like, oh, God.
Well, okay. It was also interesting just to see that, you know, she's from a society that has solved poverty.
Yeah.
So it's...
And I thought it was really interesting, you know, in the context of, you know, this is a world where they have space travel. Mm. They have, you know... air cars and ground cars, and they have, you know, space cell phones and stunners and plasma guns and all this kind of shit, but they don't have, like, fancy obstetrics like everyone else in the galaxy seems to. Like, that, I just thought that was so fascinating that, like, you know, their country, that there are, like, planets in this world that where they're like, why would we need, like, uterine replicators?
That seems dumb.
That seems done.
We have real uteruses. What's I love, the point?
Like, vivo versus vitro. And there's there was that one quip about, like, how her, like, sister-in-law, or her brother's co-parent, I guess, had chosen vivo for both her births and was pretty smug about it. And I was just like, oh my god, the more plus ça change. Like, it's the same in the future.
That was so great. I will say I found it deeply confusing for a few times that she explained or, like, mentioned the difference between vitro and vivo, because she does the thing where, like, she just says it and uses it in context and you're expected to figure it out, but we use in vitro in a very different way from the, like, the opposite of the way she uses in vitro.
But I think that, you know, in terms of, That didn't bother me because vitro to me, like, just means like sort of artificial interference in the process. So it made sense that that was sort of like, this is where you put the baby in a tube and then it comes out and it's fine. And vivo was like live birth, like out of your body. So that made sense to me in context.
It made sense to me. I just didn't quite grasp it for a couple of things. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I can roll with this. This is fine.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And I also love that Errol was just like, whatever you want to do, honey. You know, at first he sort of like said that, but then he sort of like, as the book went on, because initially he's just like, you know, it's your choice, like I'll abide by whatever you do. And that's when I was sort of like, this could go either way. Yeah. Like he could either be like, I do genuinely respect your choice, or he could be like, I respect your choice, but I'm actually going to secretly help my father, like abort our unborn child. Mm. But then as the book goes on, he's like, no, like like the world that we live in is not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, we have to be serious about creating, like, a new life for this planet.
And I think it was really interesting to force him to confront that with deciding whether to pardon or to execute his friend's son.
Yeah.
For that, like, dumb, drunken duel he got into.
Yeah. And even though that obviously had tragic consequences. Yes. But it
was very interesting to see him sort of be like, there aren't just two ways. It's like, I have to figure out how to make a better world.
But he didn't figure that out then. Cordelia knew that. But he figured it out later. Yeah, I mean,
To force him, like, down the line to figure out how
down the line.
He's growing and changing.
I love him so much.
I also like how she repeatedly emphasizes that he's short.
I know. It's so cute. So stocky. Yeah.
Under tall, I think.
Under tall. Oh my god, I forgot about that one. Yeah, sidebar. We can talk about this in like the regular episode, but I've been watching a lot of Leverage. You ever watched that show?
Yes.
There's a guy on there who's like very severely under tall, but he's so hot. And my sister and I are just looking at each other going like, I hate how hot I found this. He's got like a soul patch. It's horrible. He's like long hair, like so much. I'm just
straightened.
Like this is
hair.
So much, but I would.
He's very much your type.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Big, beefy, doesn't talk too much. Totally your type.
Yep. He's also a good cook.
Oh yep.
Connor was like, you know, you like your giant bros, kind but woke. Accurate. Like, yep. Fair. I will. Yeah, I mean, I really love that they sort of both grow as people. Like, she, I think, ends the book in a very different place from where she began
it.
Like, I think she's lost a lot of the sort of optimism she started the book out with.
Because
I think she started out with, like, a sense of, like, this is not going to be easy, but it'll be fundamentally fine.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to be fine.
It's not fine. She spends, like, the entire book in a state of, this is not fine.
But she never sort of, like, one thing I really appreciated was that I normally hate it when sort of, like, female characters get put into situations where, like, men are, like, managing their, like, escape slash safety, especially, like, if they're someone with, like, a military background.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated that, like, at every juncture where Cordelia is sort of called upon to, like, make a judgment, she sort of, like, either, she never sort of assumes that she knows better just because she's from, like, a more advanced planet.
No.
She's like, I'm going to trust in this particular situation that I need to do what they say. And then, you know, I will use my judgment sort of, like, from there.
Yeah.
But she was never like, I'm from Beta, I know better.
No. Everything's better in Beta. yeah, I really like that, too. And I liked that she is the kind of person who will assess the various people around her and rely on their expertise. Like, she can pick out people's talents and trust them to use those talents.
Yeah.
So the last third of the book, she basically spends the whole time going, oh my god, why did I think that I could be in a command position? Like, this is the worst. I hate that.
I hate having this responsibility.
But she also has that great gift of picking out, finding people's talents and trusting them to use them.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that makes a great leader.
Yeah.
And it's also definitely something that Errol has as well.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see her.
I did love that moment where she's like, well, I'm not the one who's the regent, the imperial regent. He's like, that's just because they didn't have the sense to ask you. what was the last? I had like a sort of...
We can talk about the fan fiction that you found. And how there... Is it all OT3 with Bothari?
No, but it's not Bothari. It's the ones that I found were with Ilion, with Simon Ilion.
Oh. Weird.
I know. Well, and and also, like, I haven't gone that deep in it yet. I think I wanted to get through Beriar before I, like, went deep. But,
Yeah, you don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah.
By fan fiction.
But there's also, I mean, I knew that, I mean, like you said, you know, some of the tension was robbed by the fact that I knew Miles lived. So I was like, okay, well, she's not pregnant at the end of Shards of Honor, but I'm guessing that something happens in Beriar where, yeah, I don't know.
When a man and a woman love each other very much.
Plot happens, and then there's a baby. I also liked the political stuff about, like, how you can't just sort of remake the world, like, overnight.
Yeah.
But you have to keep trying.
Yeah.
Like there's, like, Errol is so practical about it. Mm-hmm. And, like, and that's one, you know, one of the reasons that Cordelia, like, goes rogue and, like, orchestrates her own escape attempt for her son and, you know, everybody. But, you know.
And it's, one of the great things about that argument is that they were both right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're not sitting there going, but how can you not see this? It's like, I completely see your side.
Yeah.
And yet also.
Yeah.
I feel differently.
Yeah. It's like, I also like that he didn't, I mean, I kind of like that he said no to her.
Yeah.
When she was like, you know, I've never asked you for anything.
Yeah.
Like, I've never asked you for anything in the whole course of our ridiculous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm asking him for this, and he still said no.
Yeah.
Because in any other book, he'd been like, yes. Yeah, sure, honey. Yeah.
And I think the fact that they both were right, and they both stuck to their guns.
But not in, like, a stubborn way.
No.
Not, like, just for, you know, because.
No.
It was because
They both believed in what they felt.
Yeah.
And I think that is what made their reconciliation at the end possible.
Yeah.
I think if one of them had been in the wrong, or if one of them had caved.
Because then the other one would have been, you know, going, you know, if Cordelia had been right and Errol had been wrong.
Yeah.
Then she would have been sort of coming to him in triumph at the end.
Yeah. Rather than, like, as a partner who had done something for them.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember what I was going to say. I love that Cordelia's whole insight into Vordarian being, like, the evil guy was because he tried to, like, no-homo her into, like, he tried to, like, be like, did you know that once your husband was a little gay? And she's like, yes, I knew that. He's 44. Like, what the fuck? I didn't suppose that I'd married a 44-year-old virgin. I was just like... kill him.
Amazing.
It was amazing. And I just love that was like, you know, it was such a wonderful sort of like feminine insight. And then when she tells Ilion, she's like, I think you should add Vordarian to the short list. She's like, but you know, he's never been that bad. And she's like, just do it.
And then there's a callback later where Errol says something about Ilion's wonderful instinct in finding that. And I was like, yeah, that was not him. But Cordelia doesn't say anything.
But in that moment, like, she didn't say anything, but, like, in my head canon is that she's like, well, I know, and Ilion knows that I know. So if he ever tries to, like, claim credit for this, like, he's gonna have another thing coming. Like, now he knows that he's gonna be in charge of, like, the security services, but Cordelia was the one who gave him all the insight, you know? Like,
yeah.
That I loved that, because like it would have been
wonderful.
I actually probably would have been like a little bit sort of like irritated at her if she had been like, because in that moment, I think it was like really far towards the end.
Oh yeah, that's I think that happens.
It's like in that last scene,
like, crashing light flyer with Negri and Gregor like crashes down. And he's like, yeah, we sort of knew that something was happening, but we didn't know it was happening right now.
Yeah.
And so that would have been totally the wrong moment to say anything. It would have been awful if she had said anything.
Yeah, yeah. And it would have been awful for the reader's perception of her in that moment to be thinking about her own sort of, like, glory.
Yeah.
And
that's the beauty of trusting the reader, is that she expects the reader to see that and remember it and know, and she doesn't need to have Cordelia say anything or even think anything in that moment.
I think it was also so amazing and so appropriate that the sort of final gesture in, like, ending the war was her having Bathory behead Vordarian and then, like, throw his, like, severed head onto, like, a conference table. Because all this time, she's been sort of, like, fighting against this sort of, like, feudal nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But she recognizes that, you know, you can't fight feudal nonsense with, like, modern reason. You have to, like, bring the feudal nonsense to the table.
Yep.
And that was just, I was just like, this is amazing. And she, like, and it's in, oh my God, I definitely, like, bookmarked that page because I was just like, this is fabulous. Where she says, Count Peter's hand slapped down hard on the table. "Good God, woman, where have you been?" he cried furiously. A morbid lunacy overtook her. She smiled fiercely at him and held up the bag. Shopping. And the whole thing is that the bag is from, like, some fancy woman's boutique or something.
It's like Neiman Marcus.
Want to see what I bought? Cordelia continued, still floating. She yanked open the bag's top and rolled Vordarian's head out across the table. Fortunately, it had ceased leaking some hours back. But then, the moment that I was just like, OTP! On the next page, Errol was perfect. His eyes widened only briefly. Then he rested his chin on his hands and gazed past his father's shoulder with an expression of cool interest. "But of course," he breathed, "every Vor lady goes to the capital to shop."
I love them so much.
"I paid too much for it," Cordelia confessed. "That, too, is traditional." I was just like,
feelings.
So much.
Just that moment of perfect,
like
being in sync.
Like hashtag goals, like, you know, you know, the being in sync. And also, you know, it becomes like a joke about, you know, their sort of running joke about, like, Vor society and, like, the things that people think are important.
Mm.
But it just sort of, like, all gets wrapped. Oh my God, it was so good.
So good.
So good. So we're at 40 minutes talking.
We had a lot to say.
We had so many feelings. For 38 minutes and nearly an entire bottle of wine. So closing thoughts about Beriar.
I'm gonna miss Cordelia and Errol.
I mean, it's not like, it's unless like they're dead in the next book, it's not like they're going away.
No, but I assume that it's going to be a lot of Miles' adventures across the universe, and we're gonna see them as parents rather than as individuals. And I mean, I actually, after having read 3 books, I now trust Lois McMaster Musial to handle that well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also keep thinking of Tamora Pierce's Tordal books. You have Alana is the first series, and then 4 series down the line, she writes about Allie, Alana's daughter, and how weird it is to see, like, this character as parent rather than as individual, and to see, like, their child's goals instead. And it's very weird and messes up all of the, like, mm-hmm. emotional cues in my head.
Well,
I mean, I trust her. A lot of people have read a lot of Miles books and seem to like them, so I believe that it will work out. I'm just, sad to lose her point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we still get her point of view, because I think that obviously I don't know what happens in the next books, and I don't know whose point of views they're from, but if we get Cordelia as a parent, I think that that will be really interesting, because she is already so much of a person that I actually kind of want to see her as a parent, you know? Like, I really kind of want to have her point of view, you know, other than sort of like, God damn it, my newly mobile child is missing. Like, where the fuck is my kid? You know?
As like, personalities interacting.
Yeah.
Rather than just being concerned about her unborn child.
Yeah, yeah. And and I think that this will be very helpful for our discussion of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is coming up next. I don't really have any final thoughts other than, like, oh my God, I might reread it because it's so good.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we will pick up the book club with the next book in the series, which I will look up later. And otherwise, hope you're enjoying the saga and the book club, and please give us your thoughts on Twitter and Tumblr. hashtag SH Book Club, and we look forward to hearing what you think.
Yes.
Till next time.
Bye. Bye.